This is Sydney.
And I'm Cher. And each week we get together to share with you a message of hope.
It is through our own study and our personal experiences that we offer the reminder to not only seek the light,
but be the light. You can find peace, and there is hope.
And as long as one of us is slightly caffeinated, there will be laughter.
Today's topic is family history.
And we're so glad you're here.
I'm forging my way through the tip, tip, top. I'm living my life through the drip, drip, drop.
All right, Sydney, why is it important to study your family history?
Well, let's be honest about it. I've always thought family history was incredibly boring. It seems like a boring Sunday school topic to me. I don't know. Do you feel the same way? Or
you're talking to a history teacher, Sydney. You just broke my heart.
Family history, not world history. Your family history. No. It never has seemed boring to you?
No.
Because when I knew that was the topic, like at church, we're going to talk about family history. It felt like someone trying to take something really boring and make it exciting. And it felt like such a stretch to me, like trying to make healthy pancakes or trying to convince me that black bean brownies are actually delicious, which they're actually not that bad, which is the point. Family history is not that bad.
That was a good save.
I'm just going to be honest. I didn't find it to be exciting.
That's okay. We all have different likes and dislikes.
You've liked it since you were a child. There never was a time where you thought family history is boring. You probably like math too. Do you like math?
I don't like math.
It's always okay if you like math.
But I always liked family history.
Why?
I don't know. I just did.
I didn't.
Okay, well, I'll tell you part of the reason why. When I was growing up, there was this cute, adorable, older couple that took all the kids in our neighborhood when we turned 8 years old to the genealogy library. And I could not wait until it was my turn. So maybe that's why I liked it, is because yes, they took us up there. We went to the genealogy library. They fed us lunch. It was like a big deal when you're 8 years old.
I actually think that's exactly what the difference is. You were shown and introduced it at such a young age and it was exciting and everyone else got to do this. When you turned 8, you would get to do this. That was not how it was for me. It was like, okay, boring Sunday school lesson. We're going to talk about the pioneers.
Yeah, who wants to learn about the pioneers? Lame. But you're also talking to a kid that read history books when I was a kid. So that might be part of it, is that I actually liked history.
I just feel it's a completely different category because I love history.
Did you like history when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, Anne Frank was one of my first books. And then I read a book that's called These Is My Words about a woman, a pioneer.
Oh, after you just bashed the pioneers, you read about a pioneer.
Yes,
the irony.
I will never make sense. And I stand by that.
That's fine. No one's judging.
Thank goodness. But I did read at a young age as well about a pioneer woman crossing the plains. And it took me about 10 days to read the last chapter because I cried so hard. So yes, I love history.
Okay, just not family history.
Also, I haven't read a real book since that was 8th grade.
That is not true. I'm throwing a penalty flag. Not okay. True.
I do read my children books.
And you read books? You always are talking to me about books you read. Sydney is
audio.
A liar. Okay, I apologize.
Read. There's a difference.
You're listening
to other people read to me because I'm efficient.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's get back to what's important.
Family history.
There might be some people out there who find family history exhilarating.
Family hysterectomy. Is that what you're going to say?
Get a family hysterectomy. End that family chain fast. So some people out there might be on Cher's team of being excited about family history. And then there might be others on my team who didn't or don't find it to be exciting. But I have changed. I'm going to tell you one.
Wait, that means you're on my team. So there are no teams. It's just our team.
I can't accept that right now, but maybe by the end of this podcast, I'll accept it.
Okay, all right, keep going. Sorry I ruined your
group. We're going to talk about my side first of being on the team of this is a really boring topic and I'm not interested. And then maybe we could come together like
at
a family chain.
Okay.
But one thing that really changed my mind was Ben's grandma. She, at the end of her life, always told the same family stories. And the rest of the family, I'm not going to call them out, but they were pretty bored because it was the same stories grandma told. I was intrigued. I loved it. I loved listening to her stories. I have a terrible memory, so I appreciated her retelling them because I had forgotten. And so it was really helpful to rehear over and over. Plus, nobody liked her roast because she overcooked it. And I love overcooked meat. So it just was a beautiful situation altogether with grandma beer. And she would tell me a story that I love so much, that she always wore two rings on each hand in a specific way. And she didn't know why she wore her jewelry like that, but she did. And one day when she was working on family history, she found in an article a story about a great grandmother who was known for wearing two rings on each hand in a specific way. And it brought tears to her eyes and chills to her body. That something that she had been doing her whole life without any idea why she was doing this, she found out her great-great-grandmother had been doing the exact same thing. And who knows what the history before that was. But it just planted in me a seed of this deep connection we have with our family that I never had considered before. And one more thing I'm going to tell you is, in working on my own family history, because I've dabbled in it a little bit in the last few years, the best thing that ever happened to me was discovering a name of one of my ancestors.
What is it?
I'm so glad you asked.
You were glaring at me to ask, so I had
ask. Okay. Her name was Yufa.
Stop. Just stop. Okay,
I'm ready. Best. Okay.
I'm ready.
Yufa King. That's her name for real. I don't know if you're getting this. I'll say it again.
Please
Yufa
don't.
Yufa King. K-I-N-G. Yufa King.
You don't have to say it over and over again.
I laughed.
You just got the podcast onto the explicit category.
It's not explicit. It's my ancestor's name. How dare you? When that happened, I suddenly realized how hilarious things were, and I could barely handle it anymore. I've told so many people that in my family line, there's a Yufa King. And then whenever I hear someone swear, I think, are they talking about my great ancestor?
I bet that's what it is. Who knew your ancestor was so famous?
I know. Used all the time.
Yeah.
Her name is used all of the time.
Wow, that's really cool.
Isn't that the best story?
Yeah,
it all is. Right. I have no more stories for my family line. That was it. That tops it all.
Well, all right. First of all, I want to go back to your first story. It gave me a little bit of PTSD because my mom, she also would overcook the roast because that's the way my dad liked it. And I choked on that roast and almost died. So thanks for bringing that memory up of me almost choking to death. Thanks, Sydney. And moving on.
I just was thinking that last night I made dinner for Titus's friend and I overcooked the chicken and he loved it. He was like, this is the best chicken ever. I'm like, do you like burnt food? And he said he did. And I said, me too. So I was like, maybe we're related.
So there's your family history connection right there.
Overcooking. We're in this together. You and me and Yufa King.
Anyway, moving on. The other part of your story with the rings, I think that's really cool because going back to why is it important to study your family history is I think it gives you that sense of identity, which is what Ben's grandmother was talking about. Plus, it gives you a sense of gratitude and the sacrifice that your grandparents and other ancestors made on my behalf so that I could be a spoiled brat. I am very grateful for that. While you were talking about your grandmother, I just thought of a couple of my great-grandmothers. The first grandmother that I want to talk about, she was actually kicked out of Nauvoo by a mob. And now I'm going to read from my great-great-grandmother's biography. A mob member rode up to where she was standing and asked if she had any kind of a firearm on her person. She looked at him with fire in her eyes and contempt in her soul, and at the same time drew from her bosom a small six-shooter and said, "Do you want it?" And the mob guy said, "Indeed I do." And she replied, "Captain, I am serving notice on you that I intend using it before giving it to you. Now do you want it?" And he said, "I guess not," and rode away.
I love that.
I know. I love it too because—
Sounds like you.
It does sound like me. I can see myself with the fire in her eye and the contempt in her soul.
Not willing to back down.
That is me.
Sassy. Bold.
Yeah, just keep throwing those out.
You're
good
welcome.
Job, Sydney. I feel like she is definitely my soul sister or soul grandmother. And then the other story, I have another grandmother that when she was coming over here to the United States, she got caught in a snowstorm. She got lost and she ended up getting her feet frozen and that impacted the rest of her life. She was rescued and she was found, but she continued her journey to get here and to build a better life for herself and for her family. And in her journal, she specifically talks, she did this for her children. As I'm reading stories about these strong women, I love it because it gives me this sense of I can do it too. And that's in my genetics. To be a strong woman is like who I am really meant to be because that's in my blood. And it's really helped me a lot in my life when I've gone through hard things to know that I can do this because the women in my life are incredibly, amazingly strong. And I'm grateful for that.
That reminds me of an article that's out there. The title of the article is Who Are You From? The idea is when we meet somebody, it's not an uncommon question to ask, where are you from? Why do we ask that? Because it gives us an identity that, oh, I grew up in Arizona, or it's an identity of our background real quick. But the change is, who are you from? I love that because it shows in your stories of you're from a strong line of amazing women. And that does give you a sense of belonging, a sense of connection. The article is about how impactful and positive and the benefits of youth learning about their family history, which is a really fascinating topic. And especially learning from you that you were introduced at the age of 8. And let me tell you a few of the things that they found. This following study was performed by Martha Dresnick. She found that the families who sat together for family dinner or breakfast, depending on people's schedules, if they just found time throughout the day to actually sit and have a conversation, they found that people who sat down and shared family stories improved psychological well-being, reduced feelings of loneliness and depression, finding meaning in life, improved mood, and improved life satisfaction. When they shared family history in their dinners, they also found improved self-esteem, enhanced feeling of control and mastery over life as one ages, and coming to grips with life, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I'm finding it interesting to hear your stories be connected to what I listened in the study, because you come from a long line of strong women and you said that's helped you. And what they're saying is what they found, that children who were introduced to family history, they have more grit. They have more resilience because they know they're not alone, that their family has made sacrifices. Like the story that you shared, I loved the most that she said, I did this for my children. There was purpose there. And that reminds me of a quote by Richard Grant. He said, the value of identity, of course, is that so often with it comes purpose. And they're finding that children who know their family history, they have a greater sense of purpose and a greater understanding of sacrifice and a greater outlook of gratitude and a better attitude because they know what their family has been through. Then she goes on to say, knowing one's family stories creates meaning that goes beyond the individual to provide a sense of self. Through time and in relation to family, this expanded sense of self is referred to as intergenerational self, which not only grounds an individual, but also provides a larger context for the understanding and dealing with life's experiences and challenges. The connection across generation appears to contribute to resilience in all stages of life.
That is amazing.
Fascinating, right?
Oh, I love it. I wish I would have had that in my classroom because I think I would have told them that every single day. This is why we study history.
Right, because you already learned so much from other people's experiences. But when it's not just a blanket history, but it's your history, you are 100% now connected to that story. This is actually going to take me to another story because I kind of dived into the Family Search channel. They have stories of celebrities who learn their history. And I'm going to share my favorite, though I watched about a dozen of them because they were so fascinating. I don't know who grew up watching Tia and Tamara, but I did. And I loved that show. They were twins and teens and dealt with life's problems. One of them, she goes on the show, Tamara, and she learns her history and she is giddy over it. She finds out that her 13th great-grandfather, his name is William Brewster.
William Brewster.
Yeah.
I don't know the first person, but I know William Brewster.
Okay. You should do some research. And Tamara in her real life, not as an actress, she's very religious. And so she finds out that William Brewster, he is also very religious and a religious leader. And he wants to separate from the Church of England because he has decided that they are corrupt. And he is part of this underground group. She actually gets to read documents from the court. And it says that he has been found to be disobedient in the matters of religion. And she was just delighting in it because she said she sees her personality, that religion is so important to her. And then she finds out that he traveled across the Mayflower and he has written in a journal, And I'll do my best to paraphrase it, though it's really quite beautiful. He says that they had gone many days with want, but that the Indians came and they shared together 3 days of feast and that they taught each other things. He said that they bring in 3 deer and that they had gone so many days without things, but because of God's goodness, they never wanted. They always felt filled and felt grateful and they were together. And then he shows her a picture of the first Thanksgiving. And he said, the man that's praying with the Indians and the pilgrims, that's your 13th great-grandfather. And she could not believe it. And she said, Thanksgiving is completely different for her now. And it will always be different for her because it's no longer a blanket story. That's her 13th great-grandfather who did that. And he was religious and he cared, and he cared about the well-being of other people, and he cared about freedom, and he cared about truth and righteousness.
That is a great story. And like you said, once you start being part of the history, when it's your relatives, you feel more connected to the story and the impact it had on her directly, because she knew that was literally running in her blood. Right? That is her genetics, this great person, William Brewster, who is an amazing influence on this country and its founding with the pilgrims. This kind of makes me think about this, though. You might find something that you don't like. Rather than having something really positive and beautiful, you might find out that there are some definite red flags and some ugly things that have also happened. An example of this is my great grandpa on my mom's side. My great grandpa did not like his son, which is my grandpa. And he was really mean to him. My mom told me that she thinks my great-grandpa didn't like his son because my grandpa was born in 1903, but his parents were married in 1904. Think of the time period. And that was really looked down upon. And so because of that, my mom said that's why she thought that her grandpa was mean to her dad. Also, I talked to my aunt to make sure I had the story correct. And my aunt told me that it wasn't just his dad that was mean, but also his brothers were mean to him as well. He grew up not being treated very well, a lot of verbal abuse. It's not a good cycle, the cycle of abuse. But my grandpa was the most loving, kind man. He always said something positive. He had 5 daughters and 3 sons. There's commercials out there, and it kind of became a thing for a while where different sports figures would say, I'm a girl dad. I think my grandpa was a girl dad before that was a thing, because he treated his daughters so well and he expected his sons to do the same thing. He treated my grandma well. He treated all of his kids well. But I think about my uncles and the way that they treat their wives. Amazing. Every single one of them took after my grandpa in the way that they treated people and the respect level. And not only was my grandpa so kind and complimentary, especially of his daughters and granddaughters, but he also was hilarious. My grandpa was so funny and was so fun to be around. My grandma died when I was 8 or 9, and my grandpa lived until just before I turned 23. And he was the only grandparent I had that lived past me being 14. And I loved spending time with him. I remember coming home from school when I was in middle school, being excited to come home when my grandpa was staying with us, because I knew that my grandpa would have time for me and we would play pool together. And he was always just so much fun. But this is what I found amazing. My aunt just told me this. He was treated so poorly by his dad and his brothers. But when his dad, my great grandpa, had a stroke, it was my grandpa that took care of him most of the time. My aunt said that she remembers my grandpa's dad being in a bed at their house. And when my grandpa would come in to take care of him, that his dad would pinch him. He's sick and he had a stroke and he's still pinching my grandpa. And she said, I remember thinking, why are you pinching my dad? And that's one of her only memories she has of her grandpa, which I think is super sad. But on the flip side of it, even though there is this maybe not so good spot in her family where it is abusive, it had no impact on my grandpa's children going forward. My mom's side of the family is very close, even to the point now where my cousins, we still have a weekend cousin getaway where we go and hang out and we try to do things during the year. That's how much he changed that cycle. So that's the thing, is you can learn from it. If you know what cycle your family is in, whether it's positive or negative, you are the one that gets to build it. So you can keep it going or change it. And my grandpa is proof of that.
That's actually in the study too. It's just as important to go over the negative stories as it is the positive. And that's where resilience comes from. Resilience does not come from only good stories. Resilience is made from both. And she said that there are three types of family narratives: ascending, which is my family's doing amazing all of the time, everything's positive, we're going on the up. And there's descending, which is we can't catch a break, everything's falling apart, luck is not on our side, everything's crumbling. And then the third is oscillating. What this is an up and down situation. This is where resilience is built. This is times are good, times are bad, and we are moving forward. And when youth and even us older people
and much older people,
when we know that's in our family history, then that's where resilience comes from, that we will be faced with trials and hardships, and they will be different, hopefully, than the pioneers, because I don't think I could handle that.
Me either.
I'm not going to handle cold feet. No, yeah, thank you.
I need shoes and really warm socks.
I'm getting a pedicure after this. And they found that the people who knew not just the positive, the people who knew not just the negative, were the ones who had the greatest grit in their life, that they knew they could, like, and you've said this in the beginning, that you know you can face what comes your way because you come from a strong line of women. And then with your story, though, what if you come from a long line of alcoholics? What if you come from a long line of terrible people? Well, you can be the person who breaks the cycle. I know I've shared this before, this thought that I don't think it's just breaking cycles. I believe that you're building a cycle. And they found in a woman who was doing a lecture on family history. I don't know if I should link it because it was so boring. You're welcome for that. What a lady found in her own research, she made charts and graphs of a specific family who had a very long line of alcoholics. And she found that everything was done in a diamond shape about five generations. They were really struggling with a boy who wanted to start drinking, and he was a young teen. And they looked at his family history, and they found that brothers, uncles, grandpas all struggled. And they looked at all the way back to about five or six generations back. And his grandfather, great grandfather at the time, came over from Ireland when he was about 13 years old. His parents thought they were providing a better life, and he ended up being on a coffin ship, which was really common. People would think it was a great ship, but it was full of death. And it was very traumatic for a lot of people. The disease would spread and a lot of people died. So half of the ship made it. And he was only 13 and alone. And he got married when he was 14 to a 13-year-old, and they had a baby. And that's his life. He had no idea how to be a parent. He had no idea how to be a man. And he started drinking at 14, 15 years old. He didn't do a good job being a father. He was in deep trauma with no help. And that's why he started drinking, and he drank ferociously. And then his boys did, and then their boys did. And then they were worried about this one boy who was really interested, and they taught him his family history, and it changed it for him. They talked about the stories. Do you remember going and getting grandpa from the pub? And it changed what he wanted. Sometimes learning our ugly family history helps us to be different. We see what we don't want to be, and we have that power in us to change our story. And though that history's there, it doesn't define who we are, but it helps us to see what we could be if we don't work hard.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want to do when you're studying history in general, is take the good and the bad. Also remember that as you're studying history, like I just told you an awesome story about my grandpa. That doesn't mean my grandpa was perfect. I do know that when my grandpa was younger, that he would come home drunk quite a bit and made my grandma really angry. But he changed. So it's not like his life was perfect or that he did everything perfect. But just like us, we're learning and we're growing. So you take the examples that people have already given you, whether it's good or bad, and learn from it to build your own life.
Yeah, it just makes me think, if you ran into somebody who was exceedingly unpleasant and grumpy, but then you found out that they had just come from an accident, or they had just had a loss, or any kind of terrible situation just happened, it's so much easier to have a lot of patience and understanding and compassion. I think that's what happens when we look at our family history too. When we understand not just, okay, well, you come from a long line of alcoholics, but to understand that poor boy at 13 was put on a boat. That was not the situation that they thought, completely alone. They shared that in letters that he had written that he didn't want to tell his family what his life was really like, because they were making such great sacrifices for him to go to America. And he felt like if they knew how hard and traumatic and terrible it was, that they would not think their sacrifice was worth it. So he held on to these terrible, negative, dark feelings to protect his family back home, because he was the one who got to go to America. They didn't know what it was like for him, and he had nobody to tell. And so when you understand, that's why that young boy, he's a boy, started to drink, and why he wasn't the greatest father, then you have a lot more compassion and understanding. But then I feel like it gives you the tools to make the changes, because are you a 13-year-old traveling across the sea on a coffin boat? Chances are, no, you're not. And so what do you have now that you could be grateful for? And the tools that we have now, whether it's therapy or the professional help that's out there, we have tools that they did not have.
What you just said, it really hit close to home, because I feel like in my teaching career, I had a front row seat for that. I've had so many students over the years that have been in similar situations, and they're such good people, and they understood, they really understood where they came from and really wanted to build their own cycle. Just as an example, years ago, I had a student just so kind, so delightful. He was 14 or 15, and he was already the one taking care of his younger siblings. His family, they were alcoholics, and he did not want to follow that path. I mean, everything you just said was this kid. I'm just thinking of him so much, because he was doing everything he could to change it, even to the point where he is the one who made Thanksgiving dinner. He did all of it, but he did it because he wanted to try to make it nice for his mother, even though she was drunk, and nice for his younger siblings. Watching him through the school year and everything that he did at 14, 15 years old to be the adult in the house, I think of that kid often. Oh my gosh, I hope that things turned out for him, because he was fighting so hard to build that better life. I've seen it happen. I know that it can happen, because I literally have had a front row seat for that for 32 years of my life.
It made me think of back to the study of the five generations that she saw, specifically the same family, the boy. He had, I think, 7 children, and 5 of them were alcoholics, but 2 were not. And the 2 that were not had their own family. And in that family, maybe 1 out of 4 were alcolics, but then there was 4 that were not. And so I think that is really important to really illustrate that though it might be your family history to have something, whether it's trauma or addictions, you can be the one that is not. You can do the work and fight to not be that one, because then what you do is what your grandpa did. Is he changed it, because all of y'all, all you guys that I know are exactly what you described when you talked about your grandpa. You guys are hilarious. You're fun. You have great stories, and everybody loves to be around you guys. And
we paid her for that.
I am next door neighbors to one of them, and they are just the best family, and everyone that I've met, he has created a completely different cycle. I think it's really important to address that there is negative in our family lines, because it's just true.
And in our own life too. It's just true.
It's just true. It can be ugly and dark, but then there's so many fun stories there too. So it's fun to dive in. It's not just a very dark and depressing.
Right.
It's so fun. I think though, from my experience, that you find more good.
I agree.
And there is something about it, a certain kind of feeling and joy and excitement when you read stories and articles about your ancestors. And I did not know, because again, I did find it to be incredibly boring, until you start hearing a story that inspires you to look into your own history. And then you look into your own history and you see yourself. I am not what you call an animal person at all. And I grew up on a farm, but we did get chickens a couple years ago, and they were my favorite thing ever. I loved having the chickens.
Love the chickens. Mm-hmm. Not your dog, but the chickens.
And we had to get rid of them because of the dog, which made that whole situation even worse. And there's a lot of resentment there that no therapy will probably ever fix. Iana asked me if dogs go to heaven, and I said, I hope not. And she was like, Mom. I was like, chickens do. Not dogs.
Dogs go to heaven.
I told her they probably do.
Your mom doesn't, but the dogs do.
That's actually probably what I said. I was like, I'm not going to be there if the dogs are there. There's no caffeine. Can't swear a little. Anyway, though, I oddly love chickens and I loved having them. They brought me so much joy. It was about 2 years ago that I downloaded a family history app and someone had already done a lot of the work. So there's articles and there's stories and autobiographies and pictures. It's really fun. And I read that my grandpa, who I grew up with, I had no idea that he was ever anything other than a pig farmer. I thought he was a pig farmer his whole life. But I found out he was a teacher. And I found out that he at one time was...
Wait, he was a teacher?
Teacher.
Oh my gosh. This says a lot about education. You'd rather be a pig farmer than a teacher.
He gave up teaching to tend to pigs.
Right. Because often we would joke that we'd rather shovel dog poop than be a teacher.
But then you have been a teacher for 30 years.
I did. I shoveled a lot of other things rather than dog poop.
Because you loved it.
Because I love shoveling
you
it.
You loved
it. It wasn't
teaching.
The kids. It was district and state stuff
well,
I shoveled.
It wasn't the kids. That
no, it wasn't the kids.
You stayed for the kids.
I stayed for the kids. Right. I shoveled everything
My grandpa
else.
Did not stay for the kids.
Yeah, okay.
He was out.
He'd rather be a pig farmer. Yes. Okay, keep going.
I should probably look and see if he just retired. I don't know. But I do know that for a while in our town, he was known as the chicken guy, the chicken farmer. I had no idea that at one time my grandpa had 1,800 chickens.
Wow.
And suddenly it made sense. Though I only had 7 chickens, not 1,800, and I don't want 1,800, I understood where this love came, this deep rooted core love for these little creatures.
For the chickens.
I love the chickens.
That's great.
Our neighbors have chickens and I can't wait to go take them food in the morning. I take them scraps every morning.
You take your.
I warmed up oatmeal for them through the winter. I was like,
you did not.
Yes, I did. Oh, I love goodness. Them. And that's why, because my grandpa and maybe someone before that had it. But I did find also that my grandmother, who I never met, his wife, I was reading an article about her and it was a school article. And it listed the winner of the mathematics competition was so-and-so. The winner of the spelling bee was so-and-so. But then there it was. The winner of the writing competition was my grandmother.
Yes.
And I also won third grade poem contest.
Matchy matchy.
I know.
That's awesome.
I was like, I also did not win math or spelling situations, but I did win poetry contests. So.
That's
I thought
incredible.
That was super cool to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, riding in chickens. That's awesome.
I know. I'm right there. I'm right there with my family. The point, though, is that you really do find yourself in the stories of your ancestors and it connects you. And there's a specific feeling because even sitting and telling my children these stories, they just want to know more. I was really surprised at their response to it. And also my brothers, I sent them a few articles. I thought they were just not going to reply. And then one of them's like, well, send the whole article. And then my kids were like, wait, I want to know more. What is this? What is this? And had more questions about it. The only way you'll know is if you experience it, find a story, read it, and you will have a very special feeling. There's a special spirit and feeling when you read about your own ancestors.
It's true. It's like I was saying earlier, you suddenly have this connection that you didn't even know was there and you feel linked to something bigger than yourself and that you have more support.
Because you're not just feeling linked, but you are linked and it is telling you that it's true. I've heard people explain it like a stage. The more they know, the more they see on the stage, the more they see to the story, that it comes to life for them, that it's not just this moment, but there's a beginning and there's a future and there is a now. Mm-hmm. And it just brings things to life that you never knew.
Yeah. And you also mentioned this earlier. It makes it so that you feel like you're not alone. You're not alone building your life. You had people helping you before and you're going to create that and build it for the future. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, it says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. I just had this thought that scriptures are generations of knowledge all compiled into books. And it helps us understand our life and the lives of others. And what the scriptures are doing is it's taking this thousands of years of knowledge and saying, this is what will help you build a better life. Even if you take, I hope this isn't sacrilegious, but even if you take God out of the scriptures, you still are taking all of that knowledge from thousands of years that's showing you what works in the lives of individuals and as a society. the scriptures have good and it has bad. And it's saying, take these examples. This is what works and this is what doesn't. And the thing that is so cool about studying your own family history is it's like having your own scriptures. It's having your own little set of scriptures and saying, here, take the good, take the bad, take what we've learned, and now go build your own life with it. While I was pondering this, I found this on my dad's side. This is my great-grandfather. He wrote something, and as I was reading this, my goodness, my great-grandfather was a beautiful writer, and he wrote something that he titled My Birthright. And in it, he talks about where he came from, that he has a long line of his own, like physically here on earth, of amazing ancestors, but he ties it also into that he's a son of God, and that's his birthright. So I just want to read this one little part. We came here to earth so that we may have agency and be free, to choose good or evil, that we might merit the reward of our own choice and conduct. But by the power of the Spirit and the redemption of Christ through obedience, we often catch a spark from the awakened memories of the immortal soul, which lights up our whole being as with the glory of our former home. What a great example of my great grandpa. I do not know him. He died before I was born. He is talking about his birthright, which is mine. Not only is my birthright through my ancestors, my own family history, but I am a daughter of God. I love that he said that every once in a while, and I feel this when I'm reading the scriptures or reading my family history, that we'll have a spark from the awakened memories of the immortal soul. And I think as you were talking, that's kind of what you were talking about. Until you experience reading your family history, you can't explain what it does to you. It's sparking a memory that maybe is genetically in you. And it's just kind of like, I can connect to this. I can relate to this because it truly is part of who you are. It's in your soul. It's in your DNA.
I love that. I'm not much for Disney princesses. Okay. In fact, I recently went to a smoothie place and the guy said, if you can name me three Disney princesses and what their animals' names were, I'll give you a free smoothie today. And I could not do it.
What?
I couldn't. Could you?
I could name the Disney princesses. I don't know their sidekicks. That's the one I don't know if I could do.
I didn't know either. He was like honestly embarrassed for me. Felt like he made it so easy. And I was like, you know nothing about my childhood, young man. Give me my smoothie.
Did he give you a smoothie?
Yeah, for $9. But I was thinking, I do like Moana. The whole story is about her ancestors. Here is a girl who's like wanting to go into the ocean and her family's like, this is where we stay. But that's not the truth. Just like her crazy grandma says, once you know what you like, that's where you are. Who you really are is inside of you. And if you pay attention to that, pay attention to what sparks your interest, your desires, get you excited for life. There is a reason for that. That's the spark of your immortal soul. It's not by chance that you feel the way you feel about certain things. And it's not a chance that Moana had a spark to go out into the ocean because she finds out that her ancestors traveled. I think it is so beautiful. I wish my kids liked that movie more so I didn't have to watch it alone.
You and I can watch it together. I like
so
that
beautiful
one.
I love the lyrics. I love the story. But she figures out who she is and she's so connected to her ancestor's story. I find that to be just incredible and beautiful. But then also, I have two thoughts that I'm going to share with you. One is about Titus. When we were trying to name him, I felt such a draw to name him after my granddad, who his name is Thomas. I felt like Titus was supposed to be named that side of the family, and I was set on it, and Ben could not change my mind. And then eventually we came to the name of Titus King, because my granddad is Thomas King. And Ben said he loved it because it has King beer in it and that's fun. So we did it. After he was born, one of my aunts told me, you know that granddad was called TK growing up, right? I had no idea. I thought that was so cool that we had the same initials. And then I remember when we went to go visit my granddad, he was not going to be alive much longer. And he got to hold Titus and he looked exactly like him. It was this feeling that I feel every single time I look at stories of other people. It is this deep-rooted connection. Titus looks exactly like my granddad. There's no coincidence here. We are connected beyond our understanding. And I have found that it also has helped in my marriage. I really did start to get into the apps And I was reading Ben stories about my family. And I told him, you have to download an app and see what's out there for you. So we did. And where my family travels all over the place, European mostly, and they're not in one place very long. His family, for generations upon generations upon generations, lived in the boot of Italy. In a town called, I believe I might be saying it wrong, but Calabria. We found out that for hundreds and hundreds of years, his family stayed in the exact same spot, which was really cool, especially compared to mine. That was in one place and then another and then another and all ended up in Kansas. They're just in different places all of the time. They're always traveling. Ben stayed. So Ben said he was pretty sure he saw an ad for a show that talked about that town. So he watched it together. And he and I spent 30 minutes laughing and crying together because the guy goes to that specific town and he meets the people and Ben could be there. His personality was exactly what the people on TV. It was the same personality. So and they were all onion farmers, but the onions are sweet. You could eat them like apples because of the water that comes in off of the coast. It sweetens the onions.
That sounds delightful.
It sounds like you would never want to eat an onion like
that. Exactly.
But people do. And one of the things the guy said that he was interviewing, he said, we're just like these onions. People don't want to bite into us because we seem a little bit intense. And who wants to bite into an intense onion? But we're like these onions. When you bite, it's sweet and it's good. And we were laughing so hard because that is Ben. He seems so intense, but pull off a layer and that man is just delightful. I just felt like it's helped me to see Ben in a different light, to know that this is not just Ben. He comes from a generation of people that are a specific way. They have specific taste. And it's been really cool to see Ben, not just as an individual, but as a product of this beautiful history. But I am that too. I'm a product of a large history full of stories, and my children are the combination of those two stories that have come together. And we see my personality in them, Ben's personality in them, and the history experience for me from going to the extremely boring Sunday school has brought life to life, that we came from somewhere, but we're also going somewhere. I love the story that President Nelson tells about his grandfather, who he said when his father was 27, his father passed away. So President Nelson's great grandfather passed away. And President Nelson's grandfather had an experience where his father came to him and he got to have a Q&A with him. And he asked, what are you doing? Where are you? And he said, I am safe. I am happy. I am with family. I am with people who I've grown up with. And he said, is dying normal? Did it hurt? And he wanted to know all of the questions. And he said, dying is as natural as being born. It's as if I walked through a door. I'm right here. We are all right here with you. He said what that story did for him was illustrate that it is not just this earth and it's over, but we are so significantly connected before, during, and after it continues. And so I think that why is family history important? Because it gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. And the ultimate question I feel like is, who are we? Why are we here? And in family history, you figure that out. We figure out why we're here and what sacrifices were made to get us where we are. And that gives us the motivation to continue and do it for my children, do it for our family. It is bigger than just me. Our final thoughts today are to recognize and to think about, who are you from? What does your family line look like? And in doing so, you will learn and understand a greater sense of self. You will be able to be more grateful, have more grit and resilience. And ultimately, no matter what your family line looks like, to remember that ultimately who you are from is God, that you are God's child. And we have a list of proven benefits of family history to motivate you to maybe get in and dive in. Some of these might be repeated. Improve psychological well-being, reduce feelings of loneliness and depression. Finding meaning in life, improved mood, improved self-esteem, enhanced feeling of control and mastery over life as one ages. Less anxiety, depression, anger, aggression, and acting out. Higher levels of emotional well-being, higher levels of identity achievements, internal control, higher reported family function, higher reported family traditions, self-worth, ability to plan for the future, acceptance of oneself, a sense of self, grounded, connection across generations, resistance to illness, maintain a positive attitude, cope with adversity, and resilience.
That is a great list.
That is a proven list.
Study and, history and family history.
And teach your children and those around you. Teach your family those stories, because that story sounds really great for me. But sometimes it's hard to take care of yourself, so it doesn't motivate you. But what if that list was for someone in your family? What if you could provide that list to someone in your reach that you could help them feel that way about themselves? Maybe that's the motivation, and it will also hit you too.
Absolutely. So for our challenge this week, we are really throwing it down. Please, let's study our family history. We challenge you to talk to family members, your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles. Find out stories about your family and about your ancestors. Or you can download some pretty cool apps like MyHeritage, Ancestry, Find My Past, and find stories about your own family. As an example, on my mom's side of the family, every Saturday before Christmas, we all get together and have a big Christmas party. As part of that tradition, we give out oranges. And the reason we give out oranges is because every year since I was a child, we have to hear the same story over and over again about how they were so poor that they all got an orange to share. And now we're spoiled brats and we all get our own orange. And that is why we always had oranges for Christmas, is to remember where we came from and the sacrifices our family made to get us where we are. Shoot. Please find that story for your family. As Cindy was saying earlier, these stories help you create traditions, just like the oranges have in our family. And the reason this hits home for me is because my mom always taught me that traditions is what keeps your family tight. Having those things that you look forward to, that you know that you're going to do. And now that my parents are gone, I can't even begin to tell you how important those traditions have become. Having those connections with my aunt and uncles and my cousins still mean everything to us. So learning those stories about your family and having those family traditions are so important when you're young, when you're not young, and everything in between, because that's what keeps you grounded and connected to where you came from and where you're going.
And for someone like me who didn't grow up with family traditions, this is inspiring to start my own so that the cycle that we build now is going to be one of traditions and closeness.
And on that note, have a great week.
And have a whole orange to yourself.
My mom would say, you little brat.
I'm forging my way through the tip, tip, top. I'm living my life through the drip, drip, drop. When eternity's plan, I just can't stop. I'm making my way through the drip, drip, drop.